Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Steve.
And I'm Ryan.
And welcome to another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. Ryan, welcome back once again to the show.
I'm here. It's good to be here.
It's 2024, and we are here to talk about our top 10 films of 2023. Ryan, you are the guest. We both saw lots of movies in the theaters at home in 2023. With that, I will let you start with what was your number 10 film of 2023?
Well, I was going to say I keep track of all my movies throughout the year. And this year, I saw 73 movies that I kept track of. And out of all of those that I saw, my number 10... this was a hard one because it's like you don't want to leave something off and like, you know, but I kept coming back to Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, because it was so charming. And if you've seen the movie, correct?
I did. I saw it in the theaters. I loved it.
That fat dragon is one of the funniest things I've seen on screen in a long time. I did not expect it at all. He's just rolling down the hill. Like, he's just so like... He's just been like stuck in this cave, eating everything and just growing fat. It's great. It felt like Dungeons and Dragons, and it was a fun time. And Chris Pine is a fantastic actor. So how could I not put Dungeons and Dragons on my list this year?
And an amazing bard. As someone who just started playing D&D last year, like 2022. So I guess 2 years ago now. I really enjoyed Dungeons and Dragons. It somehow didn't make it on my list, but it was definitely an enjoyable film that I caught. I want to say I caught it like the Thursday opening that it does, because most of the films I catch are just the opening for the Thursdays. Yeah. That's a great one, though. I want to say, so I took your cue this year and wrote down every movie that I saw. I didn't number them. I didn't count them, but my wife did. And she said that I saw 80 new movies last year.
You barely beat me.
Barely. And it's barely that, because like one of them was like Equalizer 2. And that came out in like 2021, 2022. I was putting movies that I was watching for the first time, like ever.
Right.
For me, though, the number 10 movie, I really enjoyed it. It's something that I enjoyed as a kid. I enjoy the original film. I enjoy this new adaptation of Super Mario Brothers.
That was great. It was a great movie.
It was a lot of fun. Chris, oh God, you just said Pine. I'm thinking in my head, Pine. Yeah, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, yeah.
Charlie Day. I love everything that they did in that film with the commercial of the mocking, it's a me, a Mario, and a me, a Luigi. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. And altogether, it was a lot of fun with a star-studded cast.
It didn't make my honorable mentions, but I kept putting it off and on. My biggest problem with that movie was the needle drops. I really was annoyed by, like, you know, Beastie Boys being in there and the, you know, the montage song from Kill Bill being in there. I was just like, man, I just wish they would have stuck to Koji Kondo the classic Mario soundtrack for the whole movie, you know, just stick to it. And instead they just kept throwing in like modern day songs. And that just kind of annoyed me a bit. So it dropped off my honorable mentions list.
It's an understandable and reasonable reason.
Yeah, but I've seen it like five times this year. Like, I saw it three times in theaters and twice since on streaming.
And it didn't even make your honorable mentions.
It's a fun one. It's a popcorn movie. You know, I didn't feel like it felt to be on my list.
The one movie I saw in the theater three times this year, definitely on my top. So
yeah. All right.
With that, though, we get to number nine.
Number nine. Okay, this for me is something I know you're going to have some words about, but great movie starring Joaquin Phoenix, Bo is Afraid. And I chose this one because it was long. It's like 3.5 hours, and it does feel long. But it's kind of a horror movie without being a horror movie. It's kind of more of an odyssey adventure movie. And I love Joaquin Phoenix. I loved him in that movie. I loved, I think Nathan Lane's in it. It's just, it surprised me. And it, I kept telling people after I saw it, like, it's like an anxiety attack in movie form. And I think Ari Aster does a great job of like really getting under your skin. I felt that way with Midsommar and
Hereditary.
I didn't see Hereditary, and I refused to see it. I won't see that movie. But
but you love it. You love his work. You would. Yeah. You have to complete the whole series. You have to do Hereditary.
Maybe someday, but I'll tell you why. I don't like demons, and I don't want to spoil the end of it. But like, I don't like when demons win. You know, when like evil wins, and I'm like, I just hate it.
Smile.
Huh?
Have you seen Smile?
I have not seen Smile.
I highly recommend. Smile's a great horror film.
Now I'm not going to see it. All right. What was your number 9?
And we kind of talked about this a little bit beforehand. Yeah, I was not a fan of Midsommar, whatever you want to call it. I know what happens in Hereditary. So the trailer for Bo is Afraid just looked fucking weird.
It's weird.
Weird to the point that I was like, when I'm saying, man, that looks fucking weird. That's like, it's saying something.
That to me is like the, that's umami flavor. I just want to scrape the bottom of the.
Cat's kiss for you.
Yeah, I want to lick the bowl.
My number 9, also an animated film again. Not the last animated film on my list. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem.
I've got the cup right here.
It was such a fun viewing. It was such a fun, fresh take on the Ninja Turtles and their story and just everything that goes with it. It's giving us Ninja Turtles without the Shredder being the bad guy.
Yeah. Ice Cube, right?
Ice Cube. The only thing they deviated from with the original story, and I can't even be mad, is Superfly in the cartoons is Baxter. It is the man that creates them in the cartoon in the movie. He creates them, voiced by Gino Carlo Esposito. It's once again a movie with just a star-studded cast. Of just everybody, they got actual teenagers to voice the teenage Ninja Turtles. You had Jackie Chan. You have John Cena in the film. You have Rose Byrne. I don't know if you know this, but Rose Byrne played Leatherback.
Yeah, the crocodile.
Yeah, which I thought was hilarious. Like, it was just.
You're forgetting the best one of them all, Paul Rudd, as a.
as what, Neo Geo? Are they or
no? He was the lizard that. Skateboarding.
He's the gecko.
Yeah.
Yep.
God, I forgot his name.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem was my number 9. I really enjoyed it. Ryan, what was your number 8?
And I got to say, that's a great pick. Ninja Turtles was on my honorable mentions, right behind Wonka, which I got a comment today on my Instagram post of one of my friends going, Wonka? Really? I'm like, it's an honorable mention. It's not on my top 10, but I liked it a lot. Anyway, so.
I will say that I thought the trailer looked fucking stupid. And yeah. I had no desire to watch that film at all.
I recommend it. If you like musicals at all, if you don't like musicals, don't watch it. But if you like musicals,
but yeah. I did not like the trailer. I didn't like, no, sir. To quote Mr. Horse, no, sir. I don't like it.
I liked it. And
you did, and that's all that matters.
So my number 8, this is a movie I know is also on your list, and we were just talking about it before the show. The only time I think this year, probably in the past 5 years, that I openly sobbed in a movie theater, not just little like, you know, wipe your eyes and like little like one little stream, like full on tears falling down my face, and that would be the movie The Iron Claw, starring Zac Efron. And Jeremy Allen White and what's her name?
Lily James.
What's that?
Cinderella.
Oh, that's right. I never saw the live action Cinderella, but she's a great actress.
I did because my wife wanted to see it.
Well, I really love The Bear, and seeing Jeremy Allen White buff, ripped to shreds, just like short king on parade, you know, he was fantastic. Zac Efron's face looked like a, like, it looks like they took his regular face and just like molded it into a square. He's got the squarest jaw I've ever seen on a human being. And everyone's just fucking just ripped, oiled up the whole time. I had
professional wrestling, baby.
I had a friend tell me that they went to the bathroom. They went to go see, I think they went to see Wonka. And when they were in the bathroom, these two girls were talking about how they just came out of the Iron Claw. And they're like, oh, I've never seen so many oiled up men on screen before. And this old lady comes out of the stall and goes, oh, to what movie are you talking about? Because I want to watch oiled up men. So I loved the Iron Claw. I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. And I had to convince my mom to watch it with us, because we go to the movies every year, day after Christmas, and she didn't want to see it. And she had, even when we sat down and the movie started, she turned to me and she's like, I thought this movie was about high school wrestling, not WWE wrestling. And I was like, Mom, just watch it. And she loved it.
It's a very dramatic film. I will tell you right now, like, talking about openly sobbing in the theater, my top three, I openly sobbed in all of them.
Wow.
I'm very, as a 41-year-old man, I'm very connected with my feelings. And
that's great.
There are a lot of things that will just make me start crying. Not even lying, my top four, my number four, when we get into it, cried at that one. Didn't openly sob, but like tears of joy. Yeah. I'll get into the Iron Claw later because it is on my top list.
Sure. Save it for your entry.
My number eight, I saw in the theater and I truly enjoyed, to the point that when it came on streaming, I looked at my wife and was like, we've got to watch this movie. And the cast alone brings it for me. And we are talking Lily Tomlin. We are talking Sally Fields. We are talking Rita Moreno, and we are talking Jane Fonda. We are talking 80
for Brady. For
Brady.
100, no!
100%. I hate football. I hate football.
But you love Tom Brady.
No, I loved this movie. I loved this movie. It was so funny. It was so touching. It's just so warm. And there's nothing in it that I did not like. Like, it's just, you have Sally Fields calling a fanny pack a strap on because when you wear it around your chest, it's a strap on. Like, I could just go. I loved it. I thought it was super funny. I thought it was super hilarious. I highly recommend everyone check it out at least once.
I got to say, so I think you and I both have AMC A-list, correct?
100%.
So we go to a lot of movies. We go to the movie theater a lot. So we see a lot of previews. And the preview I saw the most this year, probably, other than Quantumania, because that was, I mean, Disney was really pushing that. 80 for Brady was probably my number two trailer that I saw this year.
See, so, for me, it was like Oppenheimer. Like, they pushed Oppenheimer hard last year and earlier this year.
Yeah. But I saw 80 for Brady for a trailer. I could probably recite it to you. If it started playing, you could probably finish the trailer.
So this is out of nowhere, but being an AMC Plus Stubs member, I got really confused seeing Aquaman, because Aquaman, the Lost Temple or whatever they're calling it, they did not play the Nicole Kidman pre-show commercial.
Are they retiring it now?
No, because they had it last night. When I went and saw Book of Clarence, they had it last night. I think it's because Nicole Kidman is in the movie. I think Nicole like, my movies don't play the commercial. They're going to see enough of me. But no, I saw it last night, and I'll probably see it again Monday. Yeah, no, 80 for Brady is my number eight. So my I can't believe it's on your list is Bo is Afraid. And your you cannot believe that it is on my list is 80 for Brady.
You know, Steven, we come to this place for magic. We come to AMC theaters to laugh, to cry, to care, because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when the lights begin to dim and we go somewhere we've never been before. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn together. Dazzling images on a huge silver screen, sound that I can feel. Somehow, heartbreak feels better in a place like this. Our heroes feel like the best parts of us, and stories feel perfect and powerful. Because here,
they are. that and Matt Damon's Bitcoin commercial, Fortune Favors the Bold. That commercial always made me laugh.
Wow.
Wow. With that, wow, you guys. I will say Haunted Mansion's not on my list. It would probably be if I had honorables. It might be on my honorables, but Haunted Mansion's not out there. With that, we get to number 7. Ryan, what is your number 7?
My number 7. So I've been looking forward to this movie since they announced it. This director announced his retirement about 10 years ago. I thought we'd never see another movie by him. And the great Hayao Miyazaki came back this year with a vengeance. The Boy and the Heron in theaters. I saw it in Japanese. I saw it on IMAX. It was a magical experience. I love Miyazaki. And Boy and the Heron, I still have not seen it in English yet. I do want to see the English cast because it's stacked. You've got Robert Pattinson. You've got Willem Dafoe. You've got Florence Pugh. It's just, I really liked it a lot. And I felt bad because two of my brothers, when we went to see our Christmas movie, didn't want to see The Iron Claw. So they went to go see The Boy and the Heron at my recommendation. And when they got out, they were like, that movie wasn't about anything. There was nothing there. I'm like, oh my God, you guys don't.
Boy, you missed the point of the movie.
You're missing the Miyazaki charm, man. You got little guys, you got parakeets, like you got a magical world. That's a Miyazaki film.
Oh, voicing a big fucking bird.
Yeah. So I love the movie. I can't wait to own it on Blu-ray. That's definitely one I'm going to put on. Really need to watch The Wind Rises, which is his last film. And I purposefully didn't watch it because I had heard it was more of a slice of life movie. And I was like, I'm not really into the slice of life stuff. But now that his actual or possibly final film is out and I've seen it, like now I can kind of go revisit The Wind Rises, maybe in a different light and watch it. So Boy and the Heron is my number 7.
Excellent. Excellent. When it was out, I wanted to see it, but there was something else. Like I had seen the trailers, I was interested. I'll probably catch it when it comes out on streaming. I wasn't able to catch that one. My number 7, I saw twice in the theater because I went and caught it by myself. And then my buddy said that he wanted to go see it. And I was like, I liked it enough that I will go see it again. And that is The Equalizer 3.
All right.
It's a lot of fun. I liked the first two Equalizers. Denzel Washington brings a solid performer as an actor in their 50s, possibly 60s now. I don't know how old he actually is. Just giving solid action performance. And it's a fun little trip. How old is he? I know you just looked.
You're not going to believe this. He is 69 years old.
Ah!
I was like, you're not going to believe this.
Bill and Ted's favorite number. No, that's great. No, it was a very enjoyable, fun, action-packed movie. That it for me, when you have great action and you're able to just shut your brain off and enjoy what you're watching, that's what it is for me. So Equalizer 3 for my number 7.
And that's why I almost put Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 on my list, because that was my brain shut off movie this year. And I love Mission Impossible, but I kept bumping it down and bumping it down, and it ended up in my honorable mentions list. But I've never seen an Equalizer movie, so I'm curious now.
You know what? They're the first two, I believe, are streaming on either Hulu or Peacock. And that Equalizer 3 just dropped on Netflix. So nice. I want to say they're all streaming. They might all be on Netflix. I don't know. You can buy all three on sale right now on Vudu for $30.
I voodoo. Do you voodoo?
I do voodoo.
You do.
It's how I buy all of my movies nowadays. I just bought Man on the Moon for $5.
Nice.
Yeah,
I always get the code in my Blu-rays because I like physical media, and it always comes with the code for Vudu. So I've got a bunch of movies on there.
Yeah, I just do the $5. I really don't spend less than $10 on a movie nowadays, buying it at least, because you know, I have the thing. With that, though, we move to number six. What's your number six?
My number six, and before I say this, I need you to remind me when I get to my number one about a story involving voodoo. Just remind me, voodoo for my number one. So my number six movie is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I was kind of torn about this one. It kept kind of shifting around the bottom five of my list because it's not a full movie, in my opinion. It's half of a movie. And that cliffhanger at the end, while it is very comic booky and it does make you want to see the next one, it doesn't resolve anything. And it almost made me kind of angry because why do you have a movie that's a part one without a satisfying ending? You know, like you got to at least wrap up some of the story before you go to part two. But this is literally half of a movie. So besides that, though, I loved it. I loved Miles Morales. I forget the voice actor's name. I loved what's his name, who played the future Peter Parker. Oh my God, he was in he played Apocalypse in X-Men.
You're talking Oscar Isaac?
Oscar Isaac. Yes, he was fantastic. Thank you for saving me on that one. I would be
His name
crucified.
Miguel, Spider-Man 2099.
Yes.
One of those two.
I really liked it a lot. I've seen it three times.
That's how many times I saw it in the theater.
Yep. And it was a fantastic movie. You know, I knew the art style was going to be great. And the only reason it's not higher on my list is because it's only half of a movie. It would probably be my number three, honestly, if it had a better, you know, conclusion or something else. But it's literally just stops. And there's so many people in my theater. I don't know if it happened in your theater, but people who were angry, who were like, what? Are you serious?
When I go to the movie, I always like to know how long it is. I'm weird like that. And I knew how long Spider-Man was, and I knew when it started. And I'm looking at my phone and I'm like, there's like 10 or 15 minutes left with how, and I did the same thing when I went to go see Fast X. I was like, there's like 10 or 15 minutes left. How are we going to wrap up everything we have? Spoiler alert, Fast X, same thing. They give you no resolution and they leave it purely on a cliffhanger for the next film. But I'm not going to lie, I want to say Pirates of the Caribbean 2 does that.
Oh, interesting.
Pirates of the Caribbean 2, they give us a little bit of a satisfying ending, but then Pirates of the Caribbean 2 ends with Barbossa walking down the stairs being like, oh, we got another adventure. Because I remember people flipping out in the theater in Pirates 2 when Barbossa comes walking down those stairs.
Yeah. The one I think of is Deathly Hallows Part 1. That one had a nice satisfying ending. Like, even though it was part one of a part two story, it was its own movie on its own. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is a half of a movie.
No, I'm completely agreeing with you. Yeah. And I will be talking about Spider-Man in a minute. My number six is another movie that I went and saw in the theater twice because I saw it and I thought it was super funny. And my buddy wanted to go see it and we saw it again. I bought it when it came on Vudu for like $10, Joyride. So I've watched that movie like two or three times since I've bought it on Vudu. When I saw that movie in the theater the first time by myself and they hit WAP, I was in tears. Okay, so you could technically say that this movie made me cry as well, but this movie made me cry just tears of just pure. I was laughing so hard. I was having to take my glasses off and wipe my eyes because I was laughing. It got me so hard. And the whole movie, it's in its own right. Starring one of the actresses of my top film of 2022, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Joyride was an absolute joyride. And knowing that they almost called the movie the Joy Fuck Club makes it even better.
That would have been fantastic. I would have loved them naming it that. I also saw Joyride in theaters. I really liked it a lot. It didn't make my list, but I had a good time. And all the actors in that movie were fantastic, man. I did not expect it. I thought it was just going to be a dumb movie. And I felt bad because when I saw it, there was probably, I'd say, maybe 10 other people in the theater. It was very sparse. And everyone who was there was laughing their asses off, you know? So I wish it would have got more love this year, but...
The two times I saw it, the first time I saw it was like half to 70% filled. And the second time when we went to go see it was probably like a quarter filled. But we saw it as it was running towards the near end. So even if the near end, like a quarter filled is pretty solid for a flick. With that, though, we come around to the number five.
I am so excited to tell you my number five movie because I don't see it talked about nearly enough. I absolutely fell in love with this movie. It had almost no promotion at all, and it's called Bottoms. And I saw it. This is another one I saw three times in theaters. I could gush about it for hours. It is like a movie, like I think I might have told you when we did this last year that I felt like Everything Everywhere All at Once was a movie that was made for me. It's like my sensibility, or like it just was kind of felt like you hear a song and it's like, oh, that, like I could have written that song, or like, you know what I mean? Like it's just like something that fits with your personality. And I felt that way with Bottoms. It's absurd. It's stupid. It's funny. It takes place in this like weird alternate reality where, like, you know, there's gags like in the background. There's just a kid, a football player in a cage in the back of a history class, and he's just like, you know, just going crazy, rattling the bars, and nobody cares. And so it's just one of those movies. Like, I saw it, I loved it. I've been telling everyone I know to see it, and yeah, it's my number five pick, Bottoms.
Excellent. I'd seen trailers for it. I think my AMC actually had it at one point. But yeah, never caught my eye.
Have you ever seen Detention?
I saw the box for it when I worked at Blockbuster.
So that one stars Josh Hutcherson and Dane Cook is in that movie. But it's the same kind of thing where it's like... It feels like reality, but like a slightly weird version of reality where like people say stuff. It's kind of like fast paced and like everyone has quips, but I don't know. I couldn't describe it, but how Bottoms felt to me.
I feel what you're getting at.
Yeah. What about your number five?
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I saw this one three times in the theaters. Truth be told, the only reason I saw it a third time, it was when it was the heat wave in July and it was 85 degrees in my house at 8 o'clock at night. Yep. And I was like, oh, there's a showing in 15 minutes and the seat I like to sit in is available. The movie theater is probably cooler than my house, slightly cooler than my house. And it was in that third showing that I was slightly tired, so I wasn't falling asleep, but I had my eyes closed because I've already seen the movie twice. I know what's happening. And it was in that moment that I was watching the movie that I realized the dot was Jason Schwartzman.
It took you three times.
It was me with my eyes. Did you see it? You see someone on the thing, right? And you like, it sounds familiar. And sometimes wow. I'm that IMDb guy where I'm going on right away going, where do I know that voice? Where do I know that voice? I was enjoying the film so much that I wasn't even thinking about my phone, first time and second time. So the third time I'm sitting there with my eyes closed and then I can just see him. I can see the black hair. I can see the black frame glasses. I can see him with a headset on, just do like, I saw it all in my mind's eye just by hearing the voice.
Did you see Asteroid City this year?
I did. People are really shitting on that film, but it's like, have you never seen a Wes Anderson movie?
Right. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It didn't make my list, but I kept thinking.
It make my list. If I had honorable mentions, Asteroid City 100% would be on my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse ended for me, one dude in the audience went, "Are you freaking kidding me?" And that was in basically a sold out theater.
Yeah.
my number five. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which brings us into our top four. Ryan, what's your top four?
So this is going to be controversial with no one except for you, apparently. My number four pick is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I keep saying this, but that was a three-timer in the theater, I think. It was maybe two-timer in the theater. I loved it. I loved the backstory that was told with Baby Rocket. I felt like it kind of brought a nice closure to everything. I thought they were going to kill Chris Pratt.
Everyone.
Kind of wish they would have, you know, but
I love seeing people complain online of Mary Poppins. What was Mary Poppins' real name? In the second one, Guardians 2. Mary Poppins, y'all.
Yeah.
People complaining like, oh, he dies right away and Chris Pratt is out there for just as long as him. He survives and everyone is just like, does no one forget he's like part God?
Right.
Like his father was a fucking planet. No. You want to talk about a movie? I'll tell you right now. The movie I cried the
Yondu.
Most.
Sorry, Yondu is the.
Yondu.
Sorry.
The movie I openly cried in the most this year. Guardians of the fucking Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
Every time they did a flashback to Baby Rocket,
I just
tears. And that's just me thinking of my brother. That's me just thinking of life. That's just a pure emotional fucking cry that I hate. I loved Guardians 3. We got our first official F-bomb in the MCU.
Yeah.
Open
the fucking door.
Now, here's the thing. I think, didn't Kevin Feige just come out and say everything prior to Iron Man is now canon?
I don't remember.
He might have just said that. And if he said that, then the first F-bomb was in, like, Blade.
Oh.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. No, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was great. Fucking, as all of them, amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
I had a blast with it.
Yeah, and I loved the trailer for it, because that's another one that I saw the trailer a lot. But the
trailer made me fucking cry. Jesus.
The trailer song is this song called Since You've Been Gone, which is not the Kelly Clarkson one, but by a band called, I want to say it's called Rainbow. Right. Since You've Been Gone, Rainbow. Yeah, song by Rainbow. Wow, I'm really good at trivia because I remembered that. But that's a song that was on my summer playlist pretty much all summer because it's a banger, man. Yeah, I loved it. I don't know. I can't say enough about it. I loved the ending that we can all understand Groot now. You know, we are Groot.
All I pray, this better not be a window for Vin Diesel to just start fucking having script. We don't, hey, guys, I'm speaking. Maybe we go outside. I saw a car. We put some rockets on it, and then we fly it to the fucking moon.
Yeah, man. I hope that's not the case.
The only other thing Groot should fucking say is, I am Groot and family.
Right. Family. All right, what's your number four?
Drinking Coronas. It's just Groot drinking Coronas, and he's got a chain with a cross on.
Oh, man.
It just starts slowly fading. We just realize the last Guardians movie, it goes to Earth and it's Dominic Toretto sitting in a VR machine and he takes it off. He goes, I love this fucking game. That's how you end the Guardians, is it's Dominic Toretto in a VR machine playing fucking Groot.
It's been great. I've had a lot of fun on the show.
Oh.
Good to see you.
Okay, so my number four.
My face hurts.
Oh,
literally, my cheeks hurt.
That's hilarious. My number four was my number one. And then I saw all the other films that are on my top three. It is Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer. And that movie made me cry just tears of just pure awe. Just the cinematography, the shots, the nuclei, like just everything about that movie. Chef's kiss. And then I saw everything else that's on my list. But for me, my number four, Oppenheimer, I loved it so much.
Were you as surprised as I was that Robert Downey Jr. was like so heavily featured in the movie when he was like in hardly any of the trailers?
He was what I, yes. And I loved it. It was just such a pleasant surprise because this was not him as Tony Stark, which is essentially what we've gotten for the last decade.
Right.
This was him as just, this was classic, like Downey Jr. Like this is, he was just so good in it.
Yeah. I was surprised with the sheer number of people in that movie. It has such a large cast, and it's not only just like a large cast, but it's like all these people that are just so fantastic. Kenneth Branagh in there as Niels Bohr. You'll just like kind of look and you'll see, what's his name from The Boys, Huey, I can't remember his name right now.
What's his name, kid? Jack Quaid.
Jack Quaid, yeah. He's just there. You got the guy from Drake and Josh.
Jack Quaid was just so good in it. Like, he's really just proving his chops.
Yeah. I mean, he what was he in, Scream 5?
Yes.
Yeah. But he's great, man. Florence Pugh is great. Emily Blunt, Josh Hartnett, Matt Damon, Gary Oldman.
When Oldman showed up, I laughed. I started laughing.
Harry Truman up there.
Oh, you're so good. The film, it's just classic Nolan. And like, he could re-release that film in just all black and white. I'd go see it. There are certain movies that like, George Miller at one point was talking about re-releasing Fury Road in black and white, and I would have gone. And I know the Chrome cut is out there now. I think Furiosa looks very interesting. Oppenheimer. So my top four I could easily talk about all night long on how much I loved them, and the cast and everything that goes into it. But that was my number four. Getting into top three.
My number three is a movie called Godzilla Minus One, which if you would have told me a year ago that a Godzilla movie would be in my top three, I would have told you you're crazy. Because, you know, there's been some good ones. I liked Godzilla versus Kong, even though it wasn't like the best movie. I really loved Shin Godzilla, but neither of those were really like, I wouldn't put them in my top five, you know, of the year. And Godzilla Minus One just really knocked it out of the park, man. It was fantastic. They really showed, how catastrophic Godzilla can be, how terrifying he is. And they kind of nailed how to tell the story, because they tell the story from the perspective of a kamikaze pilot who kind of loses his nerve and then doesn't end up going on his kamikaze flight, his final flight. And then the whole movie, he's racked with guilt because, well, he didn't, you know, kill himself for his country. So everyone's calling him a coward, and that if you would have just gone out there, maybe wouldn't be in this situation.
The sub story with the soldiers and the photos.
Yeah. Fantastic movie. I came out of it just like, there were so many times in the theater that I just like put my hands up, like it really just like shook me to my core. And I can't wait to watch it again. I only got a chance to watch it once in theaters, but I loved it. And when I came out of the theater, I was like, this is going to be my number three pick. This has got to be, I kept thinking maybe it would drop down, but it stayed in my top three.
So my number three pick when I saw it was my number two pick. And then I saw another movie by the end of the year that knocked it out. Such a great story. It just brought such emotion that I was crying. My number three is Godzilla Minus One. If you had told me that Godzilla Minus One was going to be the highest grossing film of 2023, I would have told you were out of your gourd. But it was just it's so amazing on a Godzilla story with a movie with an actual story and solid action. And oh bro, when he hit that first blast, you want to talk about like hands in the air, when he's charging that tail the second time, when they hit that Godzilla theme, when he is coming on that city, tears of just emotion of growing up on Godzilla films. Because my aunt and uncle lived in Japan, so I saw old Godzilla films. Like as a kid growing up, I remember watching Godzuki. So to have this just great film from Japan, spoken in Japanese with English subtitles, it was just pure brilliance, and it's one that I can't wait for it to come out on sale because I'm definitely going to get it
for sure.
But yeah, so spot on, you and me on our number threes. With that, we get to number two.
All right, number two. I knew I was going to like this movie. I think before I saw it, I had seen the trailer a couple times, and I couldn't wait to go see it in theaters. And I'm kind of surprised it's not on streaming yet because I've been craving to watch it again. And if this is the great, great Martin Scorsese's movie, Killers of the Flower Moon. I loved it. It made me angry. But it was also just such a great like crime story. You see, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, usually he plays a character that's kind of smarter than everyone else. He's like, you know, either like wily or street smart or whatever. But in this movie, he plays an idiot.
Real fucking idiot.
He plays just the dumbest dude. And he's still just like, I don't know. He is fantastic. Just watching him just kind of slack jawed, staring out and like, I don't know, like, all right, I like money. I like women. But yeah, it was fantastic. What was her name? Lily,
I went up cause I'm not even guessing on that.
It's Lily Gladstone. Yeah. Lily Gladstone was
phenomenal. She was great. That movie for me was about 45 minutes too long. For me, the best part of the movie was Brendan Fraser.
He was great, but I think
popped up. I popped in the theater. I was like, ah! I gave a solid double clap because I love him. I love him.
I loved when Jesse Plemons shows up as the FBI agent who just puts everything together. Like, I love Jesse Plemons.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, especially when he gets killed in spoiler alert in Breaking Bad because he was a real asshole in that.
Oh, right. I remember a lot of people called him Meth Damon back in the day.
That's hilarious.
My number one. I
like him in Game Night.
I love Game Night. I just watched that this year again, and my brother hadn't seen it, and we loved it. But I was going to say that the end of Killers of the Flower Moon, where they do everything as a radio play, and Jack White shows up from the White Stripes, and you can barely recognize him.
I laughed at Scorsese himself. The fact that it ends with Scorsese, because this is a story that he's always wanted to tell, and he finally has the chance. I just kind of rolled my eyes and chuckled. When I went to go see it, there was a couple that was talking the first hour of the movie, and I finally leaned forward and went, "Hey, are you going to be talking the whole fucking time?" Wow. And the guy did not respond to me being like, I was very nice. I shushed him twice, and they didn't respond to the shush. So I asked him if they were going to talk the whole fucking time. And the guy's like, "Why are you even talking to me?" I'm like, "Cause you obviously won't shut the fuck up." I got very hot, so I went and changed my seat. to the front of the theater where I do not like to fucking sit.
Yeah, that ruins the movie for you. Like, especially when you have somebody talking and then you have to change seats. Like, it's hard to come back from that, you know, to sit there and like readjust and like get back into it.
Yeah. It was for me, it really was. It was like half hour, 45 minutes too long, because this film was damn near 3:30, right?
Yeah, it was a long one.
It was pushing it for me. It's much like The Irishman. It's what I like to call a one and done. I've seen it once. I really don't feel the need. Maybe I'll go back just to watch it again in a full viewing of a sitting where I'm in a better mood and I don't have someone just fucking yapping the whole time.
Yeah.
With that, I saw a great post today on Twitter of tell people to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, my friend, I go to movies a lot with my friend Liz, and she really gets upset with me when I, you know, shush people. And yeah, she gets embarrassed. And so I try not to do it, but it's really hard for me, man. I hate when people talk.
Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I went to Aquaman with my niece and my nephew, and my nephew was very excited. He is 9 years old. He's 9 years old. And I had to tell him to like lower his tone. But he was very excited. So I couldn't get mad at the two women talking in front of me. I couldn't get mad at the older couple, one row behind me, like yammering to each other. Cause he's right there and I'm not doing anything with him.
But I
get it. Like Killers of the Flower Moon, the trailer had me excited. I did not think that I was gonna like love it like you did. I could tell you my number two trailer, I knew what was gonna love it, and I might forget to say it, but my number one film, I saw that trailer and I thought to myself, like, that's gonna be like the best film I see all year, because I loved the trailer that much. With that though, my number two is The Iron Claw. As someone who works in the world of professional wrestling, and has for over a decade, I love movies that give a little bit of insight into wrestling. I thought the wrestler with Mickey Rourke was super good, super well done with what they show and what they do. And The Iron Claw, for me, does not disappoint with that. I always say that life has not been kind to the Von Erich family. And when I saw it, I saw it in a theater with maybe 8 other people on a Thursday night when it was opening at 10 p.m. I wish I had been able to see it in a full theater, because I knew that a bunch of people were going because of Jeremy Allen White, the guy from The Bear.
Yeah.
Like, no, and I know everything that's happened to the Von Erich family. I know that Kevin Von Erich is the only survivor of all of that. You know it, and if you do the research, they left out a brother. They left out a brother that offed himself at like 21.
The youngest brother, correct?
Yeah. Chris Von Erich. He was the youngest.
And the director said he just couldn't fit in any more tragedy into this tragic story, so he cut a brother.
And the thing is they really do take out a lot. Not to give much away, but Mike Von Erich, right before what happened to him, he was actually arrested of DUI. Like, life just went down, was not the kindest. And this movie made me laugh. This movie made me cry. This movie made me appreciate wrestling for even more than I already have, working with it as long as I have.
It made me appreciate my family. I think we all hugged after the movie. It was very heartwarming, like outside the theater. And, you know, I was just, it made me kind of feel less alone in my open sobbing, hearing everyone else in the theater sniffling. Literally not a dry seat in the house crying.
When I saw it, I was the only one. I was the only one openly sobbing. Oh, yeah. And in front of me was about 6 or 7 19 to 20 year old bro chachos that I am just
openly, they went to go see muscly dudes.
I'm just openly sobbing behind them. I think they're seeing it just because they knew it was professional wrestling, not knowing what they were getting in. Yeah, that movie made me really miss my brother. Made me think about him. But yeah, Iron Claw was my number two. Let's finish it off. Number one, baby.
All right. My number one has been talked about already. I was looking forward to this movie all summer. It was the event movie of the summer, along with another movie. And, you know, I'm an unapologetic Christopher Nolan fan, Christopher Nolan head, if you will. I don't know. I loved Oppenheimer, man. I've seen it twice. I saw it in the 70mm film stock, which really gave it like this nice warm feeling, you know, especially with all the, you know, with the special effects that aren't special effects. Apparently they used like some kind of oil and water and lighting just to create these like whirling like balls of fire and stuff like that. So I really appreciate that he did some old school film techniques. He did, of course, his classic nonlinear narrative, back jumping back and forth. There's like four different chapters that are just intercut with each other, but each one leads into the other and different time periods. That shit is like, I love it. And I couldn't sleep with, you know, I couldn't sleep at night not picking Oppenheimer as my number one movie of the year.
You know, as I stated, Oppenheimer was my number one. I saw Barbie and then I saw Oppenheimer the next day. And Barbie was on my list for a really long time. Oppenheimer stayed on there for me. Godzilla Minus One was just a little bit more. Iron Claw made me feel so much. And then my number one was just such a feel good at home family. Like it was better than I expected it to be, but I knew I was going to love it. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Oppenheimer. Like I said, it was my number four, but it's great for you for number one, because I know you are a big Nolan head. Yeah. For me, the number one film of the year, though, is The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti. I was lucky enough to catch it in the theater. I literally caught it the day before the last theater in town had it.
Yeah, I messaged you and I watched it 2 days ago. And so it disqualified it from being included in my 2023 list. It will definitely be in my 2024 list. I just, you know, I saw it was streaming on Peacock and I was like, all right, let's just watch this. And it's probably one of my new favorite Christmas movies. If I have a choice between that or Christmas Vacation, I'm probably going to choose The Holdovers. Like, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't beat Scrooged. Because I Scrooged is my favorite Christmas film ever. But it's right below there. If Paul Giamatti doesn't get nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor, like, it's just such a fucking crime. It made me miss my dad. My dad passed away from dementia. Like, I went through the whole, like, what the kid goes through. Like, it's heartbreaking. But then you get the great story with Mary. And just everything that goes in with it, the heartbreak, the joy. It's just so feeling. My wife watched it and she went, I don't understand how that was your number one movie. And I was just like, I loved it. Here's the thing. I watched that in a theater where there were three other people in the theater. And it was a couple and then one other person. And the couple was talking the entire time. I loved the movie so much that I didn't even care that they were talking the whole time. That's how much I really loved The Holdovers. It made me laugh. It made me cry. Like, it was just such a joy.
Yeah, it was a fantastic movie. And I know you like Sideways also, right? I think you are a Sideways.
Oh, Sideways is a fun one. I like just about anything with Paul Giamatti, and to add Lowell from Wings is just also, I'm a big Thomas Hayden Church fan. Mm-hmm. I'll watch a lot of the stuff that he does. I really like, that movie in its own right, Virginia Madsen, Sandra Oh, like you just have four just great actor and actresses just bring in a story that not a lot of people. Like, Sideways is one of those movies that you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah. I was on the hate it camp, but I watched it when I was like 17 and I wasn't into, you know, I don't care about wine.
Sure.
It was like a movie that wasn't for me.
It's like you trying to watch Chasing Amy at like 15 years old. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I would say reapproach Sideways if you want. Like I'd say.
Well, I love The Holdover. So I thought about giving Sideways another chance now being 35 years old, you know.
Understanding a little bit more of what the character is going through.
Yeah.
But with that though, that's folks. Thanks for lasting the almost hour of us just yammering about films. I know you have honorable mentions.
I was going to mention before, I forgot to bring up my story from before about voodoo. I won a virtual reality headset from work. And so I took it home with me for Christmas. And I was, you know, everyone was playing with it and stuff. And there was one night after, you know, I was going to go charge it and I put it on and there's a YouTube app on there. And I guess with Vudu/Movies Anywhere, they have some deal with YouTube. So I pulled up YouTube and there in my recommended was Oppenheimer. So I watched the first like 45 minutes of Oppenheimer in my virtual reality headset. And it was fantastic. But I was like, I have to bring this up when it's my number one. But it seems like it's, I wanted to say like Oppenheimer is one of those movies that I'm probably going to watch once a year. Like it's going to be sometime in the summer. I'm just going to put it on, sit there and watch it. I did the same thing this year with Wolf of Wall Street. I just kind of put it on thinking like, I don't know, I was going to have it on the background and I just sat there and I watched the whole thing. And that's another long movie. But I was going to say the Holdovers, the whole feel of that movie was fantastic. It was warm. It was, you know, funny. I can't wait to watch it again. I recommend it to my mom because I know she'll like it. You know, it's kind of like Dead Poets Society meets, I don't even know, just like Paul Giamatti being Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
So anyway, my honorable mentions were just, oh, what was that?
It's this side.
Yeah. Oh my God. Stop. You're going to make me cry. My honorable mentions were Wonka, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Anatomy of a Fall, which is that was a really good one. French movie. And Suzume, an anime movie that I really liked a lot this year.
My buddy and I went to go see Mission Impossible in the theater. And when we got there, the app said that the theater was sold out. And when we walked into the theater, we were the only people. And the movie started and the movie played and we were the only people.
Wow. And we
went to an employee after the movie and they went, ah, that's a glitch. It happens sometimes.
Wow.
So I'm not going to lie. I partially like watched the movie, but at the same time, me and my buddy were just kind of chit-chatting and just like up with each other. Like that photo I posted on Facebook of me like with the light of the sea, of me like sitting on a banister.
Yeah.
The theater, that was during Mission Impossible because no one was in the theater and we were just taking photos of each other, just like being good. Like, yeah. So those ladies and gentlemen, those are our top 10 movies I highly recommend of the top 10 that I have. Obviously the number one that I would recommend would be The Holdovers. And then it would probably be Godzilla, Iron Claw, Oppenheimer. Doesn't change the viewing. It's just the movies I'd recommend. And if you haven't seen 80 for Brady, go watch 80 for Brady.
Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe.
It's on Paramount. It's if you have Paramount, you if you don't, you know someone who does. I think it's a very funny movie. The four classically trained actresses bringing it all. It's just super funny. And you get Guy Ferrari. We go to Flavortown. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another one. Ryan, as we come to an end, I'd like to say thank you very much, as always, for coming on. I love having you as a guest, just because we both fucking love movies so much, man.
We love movies, man. And that's how we became friends. And yeah, I always know I have somebody to talk about movies with. Even if we don't agree, we still always have a good time just talking about it.
As we come to an end, I'll kind of stick to the original format of the show. Do you have any words of wisdom or positivity that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I think that if you have the opportunity to push a button that has a 0.001% chance of igniting the Earth's atmosphere, I think you just shouldn't push it. I think you just let that lie. You just say, you know what? Let's just go on the safe side. Maybe we shouldn't make a bomb that's going to kill millions of people and forever change the tide of war for generations to come. Maybe just don't push the button. Maybe just don't do it.
And with that, I will say I absolutely love James Remar's performance in Oppenheimer. Like, I liked his one scene. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. And until next time, tip the veal, try the staff. We'll see you then.
Thanks for coming to see our show.
Sad to tell you, we got to go.
Grab your hat and head for the door.
In case you didn't notice, there ain't any more. If you like our show, tell everyone but. If you think it's great, keep your big mouth shut.
It's over.